William, for inviting me to share a God story that's fresh in my mind. I was really inspired by William's sermon last week, and he called me out. I definitely just am wired, came out of the womb as someone who likes to identify all the giants and just slay them and go for it. And my pebbles can be louder than other people's pebbles sometimes and more fervent. I jumped on somebody this week a little too intensely and maybe didn't win that giant because it was too intense. I want to say that each person in this room, your personality, whether you're an introvert or have trouble finding your voice or your opinions or don't even know what the giants are, that God has called you to, that I need you in my life, and our church needs everyone's collective stones to be thrown. But I'm happy to serve as some level of leader in our, you know, outreach and missions as I'm asked to, that's my introduction. So here's the verse. Everything that's happened in church today has already been leading to what I wanted to share, but this is John 17. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all. This is Jesus praying for us. But praying for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Jesus prayed that we would be one, as Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus said, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, may they be in us, that the world will believe that you sent me. I do believe that people of any faith, background, religion can channel the truth of God and see fruit of their labor. But I also, this church believes that there's something unique about the cross of Christ and the death and resurrection and infilling of the Holy Spirit that truly is everything that we need, as the songs that we sang said, to slay every giant. We're in that in-between and not yet time. And the topic that I want to talk about today is racial justice and racial reconciliation. So we know that we will not see the full slaying of those giants until Jesus comes back. And I love that all the songs that we sang about are longing for that day. I've struggled with a lot of anxiety and depression in my life, even sometimes of suicidalness in my life. Has been easy, like so easy, you guys. But as a lot of you have walked closely to me, you know that I'm just like a salamander. A salamander just absorbs every toxin in their environment. I have to be really careful what I watch and listen to and expose myself to. I'm a canary in the gold mine that flies up when there's toxins, everybody knows. In the hope of Jesus coming back and restoring the injustices that crush me is what keeps me alive. And watching the hope in your faces and us coming together is what keeps me taking life one step at a time. It was about 10 years ago when we started researching interracial adoption and listening deeply to the voices of adult interracial adoptees that God started to open my eyes and really break my heart over the depth and scope of white supremacist attitudes and structures still present in our society. I remember weeping before the Lord the Sunday after Trayvon Martin was killed, praying for his family, our culture, asking God to equip us and parent and shepherd the black boy that we had decided to adopt, whose picture I didn't yet have. Suddenly the news was personal. It was my family that was being affected. As I prayed, I had an image of Jesus as a tall, strong black man like Jeremy coming to live in my heart. And that Jesus that looked different than the Jesus I had imagined before started to just grow bigger and bigger. And it was like someone like Jeremy, a Jesus that looked like that, was filling me and like busting out of my skin and making me taller and bigger and equipped through his spirit and through you and through the body of Christ that he's brought alongside of us to give Moses everything he will need as he grows into a young black man or old black man in this society. Before Moses came home, I had been asking God for years to give me more close friendships with African Americans. It was something I'd always wanted, but now it seemed essential. I joined an all-black homeschooling group and learned to be the only white person in the room. I invited neighbors and acquaintances over for dinner. Probably made a lot of mistakes, embarrassed myself a lot. We came to Edgewood, and so many of you and people who've come through the doors of this church and gone on to other things welcomed me into their hearts and lives and forgave me for all of my awkwardness. After Charlottesville, the Lord led me to pray and sit with a protest sign that said, "Put the flags behind glass," under the Confederate flag display at the base of Stone Mountain throughout that summer. I would sit there during sunrise by myself and pray and feel the firmness of the Lord through the stone under me. I would see the beauty and hope of each sunrise and the people passing by, many of them giving thumbs up, many averting their eyes, a few coming to give me an earful. I knew I was being called deeper and deeper into a lifestyle of racial reconciliation, that this giant was becoming a dominant one, a calling for the rest of my life. About a year ago, God connected me to Be the Bridge, a small group discussion ministry. A black friend and I co-hosted an 8-week summer racial reconciliation group in my home. My eyes were further opened to the insidiousness of microaggressions, assumptions I still make, the mental gymnastics I constantly can't get rid of. My friend's story shaped me, and my passion to be a bridge builder and fight through it grew stronger and stronger. I was able to participate in another Decatur Be the Bridge group, and I'm working on setting up a new group in my home for this fall if anyone wants to join in. Or if you're interested in starting a group in your workplace, in your neighborhood, there's also Facebook groups, online groups, discussion guides, so many tools for us to come together and intentionally take up these topics together. The One Race event at Stone Mountain last weekend, if you're my Facebook friend, you probably unfollowed me because I shared like 100 pictures and videos, and there's more coming because they have not released some of the most amazing moments of this day. But this was an event where 20 to 25,000 believers from all different denominations, from Catholics to Pentecostals and all of us in between, I mean, whatever, however you define the range, we were all there on our faces, saying, "Jesus, you are our only hope." This was a culminating event of over a year of prayer gatherings around the city. It was a longtime dream fulfilled for many racial reconciliation leaders, such as John Perkins, who've been doing the work for decades. It felt like we were redeeming the KKK history, where crosses were burned on the top of this mountain. Some of the descendants of Forrest, the founder of KKK, were there repenting on behalf of their ancestors. It was a milestone on a lifelong, generations-long, waiting for Jesus to come back journey that you're all on with me, I know, and that's what I love about this church. It's not just my journey or my giant. It's a journey of humble listening, which is not always easy for me. Of deep learning and being willing to do the uncomfortable homework and watch the uncomfortable documentaries and podcasts and listening. Of going back to things that we just want to compartmentalize so that we can go forward. Of lamenting again and again. And even after this day, they've already announced that a year from now, we're going to have a whole day of lament, because guess what? We're not done lamenting. I'm just repenting, seeking healing together, and looking forward to the day when Jesus will come back and restore us to how it should be, and welcoming that inbreaking of the kingdom. One Race was a day of heaven on earth and motivation for a lifestyle of constantly, in those everyday interactions, welcoming the Lord's kingdom into our everyday. One of the highlights of the day was the time of communion, when we came to the foot of the cross together and put the full weight of our sins, of our ancestors and ourselves, the full weight of the sins committed against our ancestors, our friends, ourselves, on the cross of Jesus, and acknowledged that his present and eternal victory over all evil is the only solution. I'm really just beginning to learn about the depths of systematic injustice surrounding race in our country. Discriminatory housing, loan practices, voter suppression, things that Sarah just has known and is teaching me about, mass incarceration, police brutality, racial profiling. And as I go forward in educating myself and others and advocating for change, I'm so thankful for the constant reminder that Jesus really is the core answer to it all. I'm so thankful to be part of a church that is full of people who are on this journey with me. This is just one aspect of what it means to be a Christian, a disciple of Christ. I never want this to become the definition of what it means to be a Christian or the only issue that I care about. It's not the only giant in our hearts or in the room or in our culture. This is just one of the many giants we're aiming our slingshots at, as William challenged us last week. So just pray with me. Lord, thank you for this one race event and the symbolic and spiritual power of that day. Thank you that our church was there with them in spirit, even though a lot of them may not have even known about it. What happened on that day at Stone Mountain last Saturday was representative of the journey that this church has been on since its inception. We pray that you would take us deeper, keep identifying for us the giants that you're calling us personally to, our families to, and what type of collective prayer and intercession and action you want us to take as a community over the years to come. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love.
I missed that because I didn't know we was looking. Oh, okay. Well, all right. Absolutely. I'm still nervous, even though I know all of the faces. I'm still a little nervous. But I was telling William, hey, Ambrose. I was telling William that I love God's story because he always wins. And that means if I'm up here telling it, then I won too. All right. Hey, baby. That's my boy. Oh, okay. Hey, Harvey, I'm so glad you guys are back. I see everybody. Okay. Please pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Hallelujah. Lord God, I ask you that you fill us all, and may we hear you clearly. Amen. I just want to start by saying that God is good. Oh, I thought I was going to have to ask you guys to reply. I love that. I got something awesome from a spiritual sister that I had worked with that had visible depression and mental illness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Just over and over again, out loud, in your head, in that moment, happy, sad, thankful, grateful, at your wit's end. Just thank you, Father. Thank you. It works. It does. It works. Use it. I felt like somebody needed that. Use it. Thank you, Father. Thank you. And, you know, even though she had her own issues, she took the time out to tell me how she runs to her Father in a split second. Even though she had her own going on, clearly, she took that moment out. And I've always appreciated it, and I've kept it, and I use it daily. So, guys, I used to be in a place where even though I was planning, I felt like I never had a plan. Writing it down, rewriting it, writing it over, going over it in my head, adding to it. Still feeling like I had no plan. So I was sitting with Nathan and Miss Sharon one day, basically telling them this in particular plan I had from head, of course, not on the paper. And even though I'm telling them, while I'm telling them in my head, I'm like, oh, I gotta get a plan. I say to Miss Sharon, still thinking, Miss Sharon, I gotta get a plan, Miss Sharon. She's like, Aunt Jeanette, you just told us the plan. You have a plan, a good plan for your family too. I guess I had what you call an epiphany?
Yep.
I did. I do have a plan. Like, oh, wow. And ever since then, I'm able to write my little plans down, and my mind is now able to process, without doubting myself, that praying over my plan is the plan, and it's been working. Wait, with much added help, of course. Praise the Lord, yes. Also reminding myself that I won't worry and pray. I'll pray more, and I have, and I will never, ever stop. Prayer is a way that, you know, we talk to our Father. And that's my only parent. That's my only parent that I have. So I'm so thankful. It took a minute to get to that. It took a minute to realize that, yeah, you may not have a physical parent that you could touch, but you have your Heavenly Father, and you have Him to answer to. So, when I'm not here, I want my children to feel that same feeling about their father. Even in the darkest times, that warm, fuzzy feeling that I feel when I know that I have my Heavenly Father and nothing else. So, I pray for me and my children to be out of homelessness. This was a couple of years ago. Thank you, Lord. And when I prayed and lots of prayers along with me, everybody praying for us. Prayed, faithful sinner. I think I'm the best at being a faithful sinner. I felt like I could take no more. Staying in prayer, fasting many, many times, but never stopping. Never. You can never stop. You can't. I'm looking for my scripture. James 2:26. Do you have that? Can you pull that up for me, Tori? Woohoo! Can we read that together, guys? Just as a body without the spirit is dead. You see, faith without works is dead. Yeah, it's dead. So you can't stop moving. You got to keep running sometimes. On October 31st, 2015, thinking that everybody's as desperate as I am in Saija, I was desperate. I was up early, 5:30 in the morning, thinking that there was going to be this New York line. It wasn't there. Nobody came out till about 8:50? Lots of praying time. But I wanted to be first in line, and I was. I was first in line. And we moved into a beautiful four-bedroom apartment. Yes, Lord, that the Lord sent for us. Yes, because you know that what He sends for you is for you. So God's plan for Aunt Jeanette is unique. Oh, I'm excited. I got another one, Jeremiah 1:5, Tori. Yes, let's read that together. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Hallelujah. Ooh, that was Halloween 2015. We were in the apartment on Tylee's birthday, her 9th birthday, January 20th. I'll never forget. It was a Friday. So blessed. Everything just came pouring in. Neighbors, Edgewood, here, everybody at church, just everything poured in. Blessed to have a Bible study at my new home, to worship with my neighbors, and to pray, such a blessing. Oh, to have the Holy Spirit in the house was like, it was just surreal. Like, even after the Bible study, the kids would just have this energy that I can only say is the Holy Spirit running around the house. And I let them. It could be a Monday, I'm like, no, sit down, please. But after the Bible study on Wednesday, I'm like, okay, yeah, Holy Spirit's in the house, running through, let it run. I love that. So at the Bible study, neighbors that didn't know how to pray wanted me to teach them. I'm like, I don't even remember learning how to pray. I just go at it. unceasingly. And I told them, just think of praying like talking to your bestest, closest friend that's always there, that loves you as the treasure that you are, that knows your heart and wants you to know him and know his love. That was a blessing. It was. It really, really was. It is still. Bread, sugar, an open door, whatever. A meal, because I love to cook, or you may not even had anything to cook. To cry, to smile, always praying. We always prayed on. Hugs, you know you could come to my house. Even now, I'll get to that. I love it. You can always come to my house, and the neighbors knew that. So after a good year of talk, I'm watching my time, William. So after a good year of talk about selling the Edgewood, what's happening? They called it a temporary inconvenience. That's a really good way to put that. Temporary inconvenience. Remodeling, relocating, tenants put out. I'm like, what now, Father, Lord God? We just got here. What do I pray for now? The open door wasn't easy. Now it's, where are you going? Where am I going? What's happening? I don't want this. I want that. So that's when I had to just put my hands up and give it all to God. I should have been doing that. Had my hands up. Then out of the old and into brand new apartment. Quick. It happened so fast. Not one picture. Because the apartment's caught on fire. Completely devastated. About 7 o'clock, Tori screams, Mom, there's black smoke coming out of the neighbor's apartment. I'm like, what? We all run outside. There's a group of people trying to help somebody break into this window because they think the old lady that lives next door is there. Fire trucks, investigators, hoses, lots and lots of water. Not knowing that the old lady, Miss K, couldn't go out the front. She had to go out the back. She was already out. So, long story short, everybody was outside till about 11 o'clock that night, just kind of praying and just talking to neighbors and just trying to figure out what's next, what's going on, what happened, how did it start? This is all brand new. So after investigations, going into all the units, the investigators, they said we could go back in, no problem. The two units that had the fire, they couldn't go back in. Of course, I was like, okay, I go back in. I'm on the phone actually with Miss Michelle. She couldn't make it. She wanted to make it this morning. I'm on the phone with Michelle sitting. We're about to settle down about 12:45. Bang, 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 bang on the door. There was no way for me not to answer that door. We step out to a full flame of fire. It wasn't like the first time. That was just a couple hours ago. Full flame of fire. Tori and Tylee, I see them at the bottom of the stairs. I'm screaming for Tafari. Tafari! Screaming for Tafari. No Tafari. I'm screaming for Tafari. He's all the way in the back of my bedroom where the fire department is on the toilet. He had to go. No shoes. I'm not going to lie. I kind of lost it, y'all. I semi-lost it. I did. Why y'all leave? Y'all said we could go back in. You know that song? Burn. Sorry. You know that song, Tony. I know you sang it a couple of times. That was me at first, y'all. I was cussing. I was mad. I was upset. I was really upset. But then I remembered I was just out here praying with my neighbors. Thankful that the Red Cross was out here. Not for me at the time. When the fire first started. So I had to go quiet. I went quiet, Mary. I had to go quiet. I started praying. I was able to think. I started praying. I ain't had no shoes on. I saw Miss Pat. I thought Miss Pat, she's been to the Bible study. We cried together. We prayed together. She gave me some slippers. I was able to pray again for my neighbors as we all saw the Red Cross. I asked everybody, did we have a plan? Anybody got a plan? I know I don't got a plan. We all exchanged numbers. But I felt that fuzzy feeling. Everybody's alive and okay. He got us. We could have been in there sleep. We could have been in there sleep, y'all. Everybody jumped in, Carrie. You would have been so proud. My whole spiritual family, everybody jumped in through hoops once again for my family. Anything we needed. Miss Sharon said, later for getting a referral to the furniture bank. I'm the referral. You in? I said, what, Miss Sharon? Hallelujah. I don't have to go no further than here. A Red Cross, call me and give me a referral. No, you don't have to do that. You got a referral. Oh, man. Did I pray for this? I can't think that I prayed for a fire. I laugh, Carrie. You know why? Because I did. I prayed that I would be the only adult influence in my kids' life. Yo, y'all not going to camp. I didn't know it was going to go down like that. But, you know, he's got a plan. He's definitely got a plan. I got some pictures. So, you been flashing pictures or no? Oh, wait, did I miss Matthew? I did. I missed Matthew. Right at where Miss Pat gave me some slippers. Read it with me. Matthew 6:25. I tell you not to worry about your life. Don't worry about having something to eat, drink, or wear. Isn't life more than food or clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't plant off harvest. They don't even store grains in barns. Yet your Father in heaven takes care of them. Aren't you worth more than the birds? Oh, my goodness. That's what came through my head right after the cursing, y'all. I had to go back. So I got a couple of pictures of the fire, Tori. That's the fire. But I did. I was with my kids the whole summer, and we had a good time. Those pictures too, Tori. Let's just flood them with the good now, because the good outweigh the bad. We had a good time. We went to the pool, to the lake. We barbecued. I joined the 40 Club. Oh, you're not there yet. Okay, that's still the fire, all the destruction, but I joined the 40 Club. Yeah, everything was destroyed, and then the ceiling was on top of everything. So it was like, nobody told me I had to peel the ceiling off to even get to the moldy mildew stuff. And that was my mother's diary. That was all I had, that was it. Should I keep the moldy mildew diary? Really? No, we can't keep those things. We don't keep those things anymore. We got to stick with the memories, because right here, all around the house, whether you turn to the left or the right, your ears are going to hear what the Lord is telling you need to do. And these work all over the house. And I think I might have kept all that we had. And I saved some of them that was at the house on my table. In everything we do, guys, in everything we do. What does it say? Yes, Matthew 7:12. So those scriptures really helped me a lot, and I'm going to save them. I got them all. I don't know if I got them all, but I got a majority of them, and I love to read them. I just walk through the house sometimes and just read them because they help a lot. They really do. So Tori's going to just flood through the good pictures, and God has a purpose for me and my children and all of us here. Possibly maybe a family mission somewhere. He's got a plan for all of us. And I actually read something, my coworker, Miss Marlon, right before William had asked me to do my God story, she gave me a pamphlet. She goes to Mount Paran, big, mega, pretty church. But she gave me some really, really nice information. And God's got a plan for all of us. We're all saints. I love our Lord. I love life. We spent the whole Krispy Kreme. You know it. We had a good time. We really did. I look at that fire as a blessing to draw closer to my children. That's really what happened. And Sergeant stuck around a little bit. I'm excited about that. I don't know where he is now, but he stuck around. And he's been really supportive, and I really appreciate him. And, yep, that's the 40 Club, y'all. I got it. I did it. May 40, Carrie. My first birthday party. I grew up as a Jehovah's Witness, so we didn't celebrate birthdays. That was my first birthday party, and it rocked. It really did. And we went and saw a movie in the park. Candler got this cool movie in the park they do every so often. I'm like, why am I first to do this? With my idea. Yeah, there you go, Jenny. Jenny's missing in action, but she definitely helped me. That was actually right after we went and looked at the apartment that first day. Nobody told me the ceilings was collapsed. So, and then my baby's Tafari turned 7. So, just enjoying life, being thankful, being really, really thankful. And I'm thankful to all of you guys. So I just wanted to... No, something about saints? No, we done. It was a really nice thing I read about saints, and I think that we are all saints. We just gotta listen to our Lord, and we'll hear what our purpose is. And I'm listening. And I got a song I want us to all sing, because we all got a part. We all got a part that we play in this story, God's story. Everybody got their own God's story. That's what's awesome about it. My story is different than Mary's story. And Mary's story is different than Carrie's story. And that's what makes it awesome. So I want to sing this song with you guys. Tori, hit it. Woohoo! You probably heard this song. I think I got it with the lyrics up. Because we got to do something, guys. Even if it's just inviting your neighbor over, or even if it's just a smile or a hello, or don't cut that person off in traffic that day, because it's all right for you to be late. No, it's not the words. Not the one with the words. It's okay, William, but we could just hear it. And if you know the words, sing a couple of bloop, bloop, bloop. Or Jordan. Jordan, you want to just take over, Jordan? Right now. It goes something like that. No, Mary, no. I'm sweating. No acapella. If it doesn't come on, Jordan, you could just take over. It goes a little something like, mm-mm. I know you know this song, Miss Aisha. I'm not calling you out to sing.
I woke up this morning.
Woke up this morning, y'all.
Saw a world full of trouble,
trouble now.
How do we ever get so far down?
Yeah.
How's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven.
Turned his eyes to heaven.
I thought, God, why don't you do something?
I said, God, why don't you do something, God?
Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. I said, God, why don't you do something?
See you back there, Jesus.
He said, I did.
He created us, y'all.
Yeah. I created you. If not us, then who?
If not us, then who?
Something.